The scripture reading today is from the book of Acts, chapter 12, verses 4 through 11. Listen for the word of the Lord. When King Herod had seized Peter, he put him in prison and handed him over to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending to bring him out to the people after Passover. While Peter was kept in prison, the church prayed fervently to God for him. The very night before Herod was going to bring him out, Peter, bound with two chains, was sleeping between two soldiers, while guards in front of the door were keeping watch over the prison. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He tapped Peter on the side and woke him, saying, "Get up quickly." And the chains fell off of his wrists. The angel said to him, "Fasten your belt and put on your sandals." He did so. Then he said to him, "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." Peter went out and followed him. He did not realize that what was happening with the angel's help was real. He thought he was seeing a vision. After they had passed the first and the second guard, they came before the iron gate leading into the city. It opened for them of its own accord, and they went outside and walked along a lane, when suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself and said, "Now I am sure that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from the hands of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Friends, as your youngest pastor, I am here today to offer you my services as a guide to popular culture, an up-to-the-minute interpreter of what is new and now. Because surely there is no one more qualified for this task than a 40-something Bethesda-dwelling, minivan-driving, turtleneck sweater wearing, married Presbyterian mother of two children. So let me tell you about something that CNBC called the latest entertainment trend just one short year ago, which by my personal hipster standards is practically last week. Have any of you heard of or tried Escape the Room games? This is a thing, I promise. It's a game that people play in person, where a team of people are locked in a room, and they have an hour to escape by solving logic puzzles and riddles. The clues fit into a theme or a story, and if you solve them all, you have the satisfaction of winning and getting out of the room together. If you don't solve all the puzzles in time, you still get out of the room, but the satisfaction belongs to the host site, which now has $30 of your money per person. Apparently, the average success rate in this game is less than 20%. Although I suspect it might be a little bit higher here in the DC area. Where, I might add, you can play the game at no less than a half a dozen different places. The success of this game is attributed to the rise of the experience economy, what that same CNBC article explained as the concept that consumers now prefer to spend money on creating memories and experiencing something new rather than passively consuming. And I can see why that particular experience is appealing. It is a thrill to think your way out of a problem. I love doing that, and I suspect that many of you do too. The game is voluntary and fun, and if you play it well, you have a sense of victory and release. And if you don't win, you still have a sense that you learned how to play the game and you could escape next time if you tried. In real life, though, we can't always think our way out of the situations that hold us captive. We can ask questions and do research. We can come up with strategies and tactics to solve all sorts of real-life puzzles. But sometimes there's a limit to our own capacity to escape from reality. There are chains that we cannot break on our own. So today, I'd like to ask, what is holding you back? What are the prison chains that need to be broken in your life? And is there a spiritual solution that you may have overlooked? How does God set people free? And what does that look like? Let's pray together first. Holy God, in this moment, help us to see ourselves clearly and help us to see you at work through the story of Peter. Thank you for giving us your timeless word. May your purposes be served through my time-bound words. And may our lives be illumined by your grace and truth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right. So I'm actually not really a hipster. And I would utterly fail you in my role as a cultural interpreter and my role as a pastor if all we talked about was popular culture. Beware of churches where that happens. But we can look together at the chains that bind us and what God does about them. Unfortunately, captivity comes in many forms. There are today in our world 35.9 million people living in slavery. An issue that is directly addressed by one of our mission partners called the International Justice Mission. There are many other people who are oppressed and wrongly imprisoned. There are those whose bodies and minds are chained by addiction or mental illness. There are children at orphanages, like we saw at Casa de Luz in the Dominican Republic, who are captive in bodies that fail them. There are families whose futures are held captive as they languish in refugee camps. We thank God, and rightly so, for our relative freedom. And yet there are chains binding our lives too. Some of them are simply responsibilities that are hard to bear, like caring for an aging parent or spouse, caring for a special needs child, or sticking with a dreaded job because you just don't have any other choice. Some of our chains are the product of long ago choices, like an ill-considered marriage or a life-changing mistake. Some people are shackled by cancer or an illness that has taken their daily lives captive. Some people have worn the chains of abuse and secrets for decades. And then there are the even less obvious invisible chains, which are equally powerful. These are the cultural and psychological chains that we don't even realize have wrapped themselves around our bodies and our souls. These are the chains that bind us to narratives that we are worthless or make us feel like we have to impress people with our net worth. These are the chains that hold women and girls to impossible standards of beauty. These are the chains that lock men and women into distorted perceptions of sex and race and power. These are the chains of false gods. No wonder people like pretend prison games that you can think your way out of. Because it's hard to break life's chains, especially when we're so accustomed to them. Now, that all sounds like quite a Debbie Downer trip, except that honesty about our chains is the first step to breaking them. I want the church to be honest with you, and I want you to be honest with yourself and with God about what is holding you back. Your mind may be quickly drawn to the chains that aren't your fault, the burdens you bear that someone else put on you, which are real. But you can name those things and also name the resentment and destructive patterns that tend to layer on and make those chains even heavier. Once you see what's holding you back, there are some different approaches to escaping that trap. Our culture says that the solution is purely mental and emotional. There is a multi-billion dollar self-help industry that says you can think your way out of this bondage. And more that industry says you can feel your way out of this bondage. Now, I'm grateful for a lot of the tools that those books and speakers have to offer. You should avail yourself of the best of those tools. But we are here as a church. Every day we are here as a community because the ultimate solution is spiritual. There is a God who is more powerful than the chains that bind us. There is a God who wants to break the chains for us, not just sit by while we helplessly, hopelessly struggle on our own. Let's look at one classic true story of how God acted to free someone from prison. It's from the New Testament book of Acts, a book which tells us what Jesus' followers did after his resurrection and during the rest of his time on earth. And it tells us, it picks up really, where the global church began with the help of the Holy Spirit and tells us how that church was strengthened so that it could survive for 2,000 years. The main character is Peter, whose chains in this story are tangible, but who has also had to deal with some major emotional and spiritual baggage. He was one of Jesus' closest friends and followers, and then he denied even knowing Jesus on the night before his horrific crucifixion. When we get to this story, Peter is back on track, traveling around and building up the nascent Christian community, but he is in very real political and physical danger. King Herod is the villain in this story. He is actually the third in a succession of historical kings named Herod, all of whom had a disregard for human life and an inclination toward violence to God's people. In this moment, King Herod has all the power. He has just had James, one of the original 12 disciples, killed, and Peter's up next. Herod arrests Peter and puts him in jail, where this detailed description of his chains and guards is designed to make it clear to us that there was no escape possible by human wit or strength. There was no due process here either. The king could do whatever the king wanted to do. very first hint that God might be about to do something remarkable comes with the mention that all of this happened during Passover, which celebrates how God liberated the people of Israel from captivity in Egypt. The second little hint, God's about to do something, is that the people of the church were praying fervently for Peter while he was in jail. Herod had all the practical power, but the church had all the spiritual power. Indeed, right before Herod is going to haul Peter out of jail and presumably kill him, an angel and a light appear in Peter's jail cell in the middle of the night. The angel wakes Peter up and says, "Let's go, quickly." And the chains fell off his wrists. Then the angel tells Peter to get dressed and follow him out. All of this kind of seems like a dream to Peter until he wakes up in a back street of the city and realizes that he has been miraculously rescued. And it's real. There's even a funny epilogue to this story, which we didn't read aloud, but I'll tell you about now. Peter goes straight to the home of Mary, the mother of the disciple John Mark, where his fellow Jesus followers are gathered, and they're praying. Peter knocks on the door, and a servant girl named Rhoda answers the door. She's so flustered by seeing this person that she knew was in jail that she doesn't open the door. She just goes running back in to tell everyone that Peter's outside. In a moment that is clearly reminiscent of their hearing the story, they're hearing about Jesus being alive on Easter morning, the disciples tell Rhoda that she is A, crazy, or B, is looking at an angel, something that's not clearly not Peter himself. Finally, after Peter keeps knocking, hello, they let him in. And they get to hear the story of what happened. They get to hear the story of what God has done. The chapter concludes with another story about Herod's very unpleasant demise. The one who seemed so powerful was not more powerful than God. This is one of several stories of liberation in Acts, which are meant to be hopeful and inspiring. But exactly how does this story about God liberating Peter relate to us? If this is what it looked like for God to free Peter from his chains, what is the spiritual solution for us? I hope you can remember and take away 5 quick things about the spiritual solution to the chains that bind us. First, remember that things are never as hopeless as they seem. In Scripture, and specifically in the book of Acts, God is at work in times of blessing and renewal. And God is at work in times of suffering and political reprisal. Political difficulties and undesirable regimes come and go. But God's kingdom will outlast them and transcend them. This should be of some comfort on the personal and political fronts. Second thing to remember, to take away from how God is working in Peter's life, remember to pray through your chains and to pray through your friends' chains. While Peter was in jail, the church prayed fervently to God for him. Even when it seems that God's plan has been overtaken by enemies or events, we should pray anyway for God's deliverance. This story assures us that God hears our prayers and answers in his own way. I love how Robert Wall puts it. There is nothing passive about praying for deliverance from enemies and for their salvation. Prayer is a defiant act because it recognizes that the purpose of a sovereign God will win out in the end. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Third thing to remember, do your part in the spiritual solution. When the angel tells Peter to wake up, get dressed, and get out of there, Peter responds. He doesn't just sit there. Although he doesn't fully understand what's going on or what's going to happen next, he responds to God's leading. There are things he has to do to make this liberation happen, even though the liberation is led by God. God takes the lead in breaking the chains that bind us, but there will be things that we have to do. And some of them are hard. Fourth, expect anything and everything from God. God used James, who lost his life to Herod, and God used Peter, who for the time being got out of jail free. God's liberating work in your life may not look like personal fulfillment. It may not look like what you prayed for. And this is a huge divergence between the self-actualization culture and Christian culture. God can break the chains that bind us even when we are still tethered to our responsibilities. God can break the chains that bind us even when the tangible, visible miracle doesn't come. And yes, sometimes God discernibly, miraculously, clearly breaks our chains and works in our lives in ways that completely exceed our expectations. Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Rejoice that the worst chain is already broken. Without Jesus, we would be trapped and chained by our own sin forever. But he paid the price that we couldn't pay on our own. His resurrection broke the stranglehold of death and promises us a future with him. God did all that out of love for us and for the world. And now God wants to help us break the rest of the chains in our lives. God is inviting you to receive the gifts of salvation and transformation that only he can give. The grace of God is more important and more powerful than the chains that bind us. I hope you have spent some time this morning thinking about what's holding you back, naming, at least for yourself, the chains that bind you. Like Peter, most of us have some pretty obvious shackles in our lives and some not so obvious scars that chain our hearts and our minds. The chains that bind us individually are mirrored in our politics and our social conflicts. But life is not a game. And we don't have the power to solve the puzzle completely on our own. We need a spiritual solution. So I hope that you will spend the rest of this day and the rest of this week, and maybe even the rest of your life, thinking about the gifts that God has given us to solve the puzzle. Take the gift of Peter's jailbreak story and those five little lessons with you. Remember that things are never as hopeless as they seem. Pray through your chains. Do your part to leave the chains behind you. Expect anything and everything from God. Rejoice that Jesus has already broken the worst of our chains. Take the gift. Take the gift of his salvation into your heart and discover the gift of transformation that flows from a new relationship with God. Take the gift of all these imperfect but loving people who are sitting right here, right now. And look for a new friendship that maybe God will use to break the remaining chains in your life. Take the gift of this day, this beautiful, amazing, sunny day that threatened to be a wet, windy, hurricane-filled mess, and see how God will use it, because God does amazing things every single day. Let us pray. Living, loving God, this amazing day belongs to you. Help us to see you at work in it and in our lives, breaking the chains that bind us through the power of Jesus. Awaken our souls and spur us to follow him. Please show us the purpose that you have for our lives every day. We ask these things in the strong name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
With power. chain, to break every chain, to break every chain.